Today's date, April 17th, 2018, and we're in your recording studio. Explain again where we are.
Well, we're here at the Ripley Farm, which is about a mile from the original homestead, and this is building one of the studio where I mostly do digital transfers and archiving of Leon Russell masters, but it's a building filled with equipment. It's where I live my life, guitars and microphones and tape machines.
We want to talk about the Tractors.
I've heard of the Tractors.
This is a band you put together, formed, I believe, in 1988.
That's close enough.
The name, why the Tractors?
It really goes back in a couple of ways to Jim Halsey, the country music entrepreneur or whatever, impresario, that I worked for a while. He hired me first to build a studio. We were going to put it in the church studio, Leon Russell's old studio, but it had been sold. So I was just there looking for another building, and he decided to have me produce a record on Johnny Lee Wills, close to his heart, and of course mine too, because the very first things I remember in life are listening to both Bob and Johnny Lee Wills on 78s when I was 3 or 4 years old, little baby. And Hank Williams records. And so, you know, that's great. And this is my roots. And I get to meet the Bob Wills guys. It was all just a wonderful experience. And I say that leading up to two things. They were all great in this band. The steel player's name is Gene Crownover. Gene, who had played with Bob and Johnny Lee and many others, I guess, over the years, was one of my favorite players. He played old-fashioned non-pedal steel guitar. It's like slide guitar, bottleneck blues guitar, really. But he was a master at it. And if he were here, I would still say it. He was slightly hard of hearing, so he played louder than he would have played. He set his amp a little louder, and he punched it. So it was very rock and roll to me. I mean, it was just great. I fell in love with him and his playing, and all of those guys, Joe Hawley and Johnny Lee especially. But anyway, that stuck in my mind. And I thought, someday I'm going to do a band. Now, that would have been 77, I believe. We had moved back from California to Oklahoma in 76, 77, somewhere in there. I went to work for Halsey and continued through those years, and it stuck with me. Somehow I'd do a small kind of, I used to think of it as a small asleep at the wheel, but a kind of up-tempo rock and roll swing something or other, or shuffle, I would call it. But swing, same thing. Went to California again to work with Leon and do all that stuff, played with Dylan, and I just kept this in the back of my head. And I would call Gene Crownover every once in a while. And I'd say, I still want to do that band. How you doing? You know, we'd just chat. I'm doing great. That'd be fine. Great. Can't wait, says Gene. So that's one of the things that indirectly has to do with Halsey, because he hired me to make that record. Is one of my great experiences, that Johnny Lee Wills record. And then went to California, and I did this and that, including the guitar business, but always writing songs and recording demos. Jim Halsey's son, Sherman, as he did every once in a while, came by our house, and I either played him some things that I had or gave him a cassette, and he came back. But he says, I don't know, sounds like the Tractors to me. And I got it from my standpoint, because it's Oklahoma music, but it conjures up a working man kind of deal and roots kind of thing. Sherman's gone now, and I never quizzed him as to why he said that. But that's where the name starts, as with Sherman Halsey. I think just ad-libbing it. Or perhaps not. I just don't know. So I had the name. I had the concept. And when we moved back the last time then, in, say, 86, 87, Gene had already died, and we bought the church studio and set up shop in there. I started making the demos that would become the Tractors. You know, I have to say, we came back because my mom had cancer, and I just came back to be with family, not just to take care of her, but I knew this was going to happen over and over as we got older, and our kids were small, and we just decided we'd rather be in Oklahoma with the family. I had serious talks with myself about, okay, so here I am. What do I want to do? Should I just go back to school? I called TU and talked about going back to school and getting a master's or something. Then I thought, well, I should give the music business another shot, because I'd produced some records. I'd engineered some records. I'd worked building guitars. I'd been in the studio with Ry Cooter and those kind of guys in Hollywood. I'd done the Bob Dylan thing, but, you know, I hadn't concentrated on writing songs and stuff. So I just thought, well, going back to something a professor told me at OSU, should write about what you know. And I would say, do I get in or out of the music business, this conversation I'm having with myself? And I said, well, I should do what I really like to do, not try to make a record for what they might expect, you know, the current pop thing or country thing. It goes back to those first records as a kid with Bob Wilson, Johnny Lee, and Hank Williams for sure, Hank Sr. Then, of course, Elvis came along when I was still little, 54, so 4 years old. So I just decided to start writing songs that have to do with my life, sort of autobiographical. And I always do that. I continue to do that if I'm writing a song. But one of the things I loved about the Wills records and about Hank records, really, if you went through the lyrics, and Dylan and some Beatles, is this mixture of not so much love songs for me, because I am not really a boy-girl love. Well, I was a fan of that kind of songs from other people. But as an example, John Fogerty, the Creedence Clearwater, which I really loved at the time, I don't think he ever wrote a boy-girl song. It would surprise people, but if you went back and looked at the hits, they're about any number of things, but they aren't, hey, baby, baby. I kind of held on to that, and I just mixed it all up, never expecting too much, but we had the church studio and started making demos, and that became the Tractors. I have a new song that I probably won't remember, but let me make an attempt to say these lyrics. It's called Farm Music. Country music, I don't know where that is. I remember Bob Dylan telling me, well, you know, when I was a kid, it was country western music. Where'd that go? You know, now it's this and that. I get that, you know, where is country music that I loved? And it is out there mixed in. But I thought one day, a few years ago, so what do you play, Steve? And even in the Tractors to say, well, we play country music. And then people call us country rock. I get that. But Walt Richman, the piano player and co-producer and my co-conspirator, whatever, he really hated it. And so I guess I took a little bit from that. But country rock, you know, that's not something I like. Southern rock, I really detest being called that. I don't mind Lynyrd Skynyrd having existed, but it isn't what we do. So country music and through the Tractors, that's what I would say, because we were under the country music umbrella. But it occurred to me in the beginning of this song, what do you play? Well, I'm a new genre of one. It's called farm music. I'm from the country. What do you play? I play farm music, whatever that is. This lyric goes, we're from the country. We play farm music. Where you end up is tied to where you start. We owe as much to Johnny B. Goode as we do to your cheating heart. It's the original cowboy rock and roll shuffle blues bebop boogie big band. Take a drink and sing along. It's Bob Wills and Bob Dylan, Merle, Elvis, Hank, Chuck, Buck, and the Beatles, Louie Louie and Louis Armstrong. Make it go round, because that's the deal. So you mix all this together and you try to make it spin. You know, that's my idea. So it's Louie Louie and Louis Armstrong, which I really quite like, and it's really autobiographical, and it's really true for me. Make it go round like a merry-go-round. Make it spin with a sweet melody, like I used to hear back when I was a boy, back when my mama was holding on to me. Now it's 20 years later, but that still sums up. That's what the Tractors were about in my mind. It was a concept of sort of farm roots and working men and this mixture of, I used to say, just banality or banal or unimportant but funny, maybe quirky, mixed with some serious stuff, because I'd throw in the politicians and all that stuff, put it to a good beat, like my daddy said, keep them dancing. That's the concept of the Tractors. That's a rather lengthy response to your question, but it does involve Jim Halsey. It directly involves the Wills brothers and Hank Williams and on up through Elvis and Chuck Berry. A lot of times I said it's James Brown meets Chuck Berry, and there's some truth in that. There's some R&B going on, and that's still what informs my life, are those roots. One time, I mixed it all up in a stew and stirred it up, and, you know, it's like gumbo as opposed to having an entree of, let's say, shrimp or an entree of this or that. You throw it all in a pot and stir it up and then eat that. And it's more like that gumbo is the idea of the tractors. I'm not inventing anything. At best, it's all derivative. Purposefully, we mixed it up and stirred it up and served this thing that is more like gumbo than the individual elements. Lordy, lordy.
The lyrics you just recited, those are new words for you.
Those are.
You haven't put them to music yet.
It hasn't been finished anyway. It's called Farm Music, Make It Go Round.